25th verse of the third chapter of Proverbs, of sudden fear. Come on. Suddenly sickness came upon you. Suddenly jealousy came into your spirit. Suddenly you had this distrust. You don't know where it came from, but it came suddenly. He says, don't you be afraid when sudden fears come, neither when the trouble of the wicked. I want you to know somebody is after you right now. Somebody is even on their knees praying for your downfall. Somebody has decided that you are a false teacher and a false prophet. Somebody has decided that you are a counterfeit Christian. Somebody is envious of what you have. They're coveting what you have, not realizing that whatever God has for you, it's for you, and whatever God has for them is for them. But their fears have kept them away from the things that God has for them. How, what about you this morning? I need you to understand the Bible says that we need to be careful and realize. Come on, somebody. He says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. I didn't give you that, God said. That is the place where the enemy operates. He says, I have given you the spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. Love, come on, unconditional love, the agape love, the love that'll love anything, love anybody, the kind of love that even before somebody does something to you, you've already forgiven them because it's not of you, it is what that part of God that is resting in you by way of the Holy Spirit. So you don't wait to see what they say and what they do. You have already, you're waiting on somebody to come on. You're waiting on somebody to forgive because it's not of you. You're not the same. You don't walk like you used to. You are appreciative that God has made you a part, 1 Peter 1 and 9, a part of the royal priesthood. Come on, a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. And all God asks in return is that you don't fear, but that you would learn how to worship and to praise him for bringing you. Come on, somebody. He had to come and get us, bringing us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Oh, come on. What a mighty God we serve. He does look. He has looked. He had to look beyond our faults, and he has seen and continually he sees what our faults, and that's because of his love. Jesus paid it all, but he has not given. He's given us the what? The power of love. The power, come on somebody, love and a sound mind. And a sound mind is one that has been disciplined. And you need to have your mind to be disciplined by the word of God. So that if you discipline your mind and your spirit, then your flesh will be brought under control. You remember, Paul said, look, I don't want to preach. He says, I need to learn how to discipline my body, bring my body under subjection. Not only discipline, but before I can discipline my body, I must receive the word of God, and then I must tell my flesh no over and over again. Because Paul said, I don't want to preach to somebody and they get saved and I lose my reward. It's what Paul said. We should not be afraid. You've got to be in a position that when you know God for
well, saints of God, our time is up. This has been Pastor Charles Simon of New Life Christian Fellowship Ministries of Alexandria, Louisiana. We're located at 4521 Lee Street Extension. Thank you for listening, and if you want a copy of this message or if you want to support this ministry with a tax-deductible contribution, write us at Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Again, that's Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. And if you need prayer, call us at 318-715-8920. 318-715-8920. Be blessed of the Lord, for God is still on the throne.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio.
It'll be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hands.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
The Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this another opportunity to hear your word. Meet us again in the text and tell of the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might hear and heed what you have prepared to say to us. And then, God, let us be ever so careful to practice the principles and give you the praise that we might profit from them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. I'm preaching from Proverbs 22 and verse 6 today. And I'm talking about training up a child 101. Training up a child 101. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I've heard this particular text spoken, rehearsed, shared many times, and there perhaps have been a lot of misunderstanding about the text or misinterpretation of the text, especially from parents who have perhaps done the best they could with rearing a child, and it appeared that the child veered off and never came back to the path. And I oftentimes have to remind them that it ain't over with yet. And that once you know your role and responsibility as a trainer, and the child knows his or her responsibility as the trainee, then you'll understand the rest is in God's hand. What is clear here is there are two views, a macro view, which is a large view of the whole text, which talks about involvement and responsibility of the trainer or parents or grandparents or guardians or godparents or adoptive parents or foster parents or whomever they may be, and the child. But then it also talks at the end of this verse about investment returns, because it makes clear that all that they have done in the beginning won't be lost, but rather fruitful in the end. What is also important is to understand that the first part of this verse deals with the foundation. And what's important about the foundation is understanding the relationship that must be realized between the trainer and the trainee, or the parent and the child. It says train. Another word for train is discipline. Discipline. In order to discipline, one must be disciplined. The trainer must be trained in order to train. And when the trainer knows what he or she is doing, then it's easier to train. So it starts off with helping us understand that we've got to know what we're doing in order to train up a child in the way he should go. And one of the things that we think, I think is important, is that we understand that God has given us his word so that we can understand God's principles. Therefore, practicing the principles and thus profiting from them makes us successful in every area of our lives. Nobody comes here just knowing it. You got to learn it. And so as a parent or one of a kin, must understand that you've got to know what your role is, your job is, in order to be the best trainer, teacher, leader that you must be for the child. It also says train up. And this word or phrase, train up, has another word connected with it called dedication. So you've got discipline and dedication. The trainer must have both discipline and dedication to make sure that the trainee or the child continues the training until they're complete. You see, to start a training and not finish a training does not get the job done. And it takes dedication on behalf of the trainer, who needs to be all that he or she needs to be, to give the encouragement, to give the strength, to give the focus to the person or child that is being trained, and thereby understand that they can't give up till the job is complete. See, that's one of the reasons why you've got to understand, if God blesses you with this role, then it's your responsibility to learn to be the best trainer, because God has given you a gift, and what he has done is given you the provisions to see how you will develop the gift that he's given to you. Make no mistake about it, the older folk had it right. They knew that when you were reared in their house, you bore their name. Some resemblance, some training, some teaching should also be a part of your life, so that when folks saw the children, they knew who the parents were or knew how the children should act because of the training they received at home. And neighbors would also know that if the child didn't act right, they knew to tell the parents, because the parents wasn't going to put up with the child acting a fool out in the street. And they're not doing something about it when they get home. And so many of those days are gone because of our modern techniques of training and teaching and so forth. But back with this word discipline, God said it clearly. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Again, people think, oh, well, you're not supposed to spank your child, beat your child, hit your child. Okay, well, that's not what the word of God says. But, you know, you've got these certain groups that think that, you know, timeout works for everybody. Timeout don't work for some of us. Now, if timeout works and that's your discipline, that's wonderful. Not a problem. But you got to know, some of us need something a little stronger than timeout. If you understand that discipline is a part of correcting, discipline is a part of you giving them the proper foundation. Discipline is a part of backing up the principle that you're teaching. Then that discipline is a part of training. When you discipline them, it doesn't just mean in the negative, it means in the positive as well. You reward them when they do well, but then you discipline when they do wrong, so that they will know the difference between the two. When they please you, they ought to know that that it corresponds with blessings. When they disappoint you, they ought to know that that corresponds with some kind of manner of discipline, because you love them enough not to let them have their own way. Parents have got to learn they can't be their children's friend. I'm your mother, I'm your father, I'm not your girl, I'm not your boy, I'm not your homie, I'm not your none of that, I'm your daddy, I'm your mama. and we're going to keep the roles separate. We ain't going shopping together and you can't tell my clothes from your clothes. We're not going to hang out and you're not going to talk to me like you're talking to one of your girlfriends or one of your boys. No, no, no. There is a difference between the two. And you as a trainer, as a parent, must set the stage and keep them separated. I don't care nothing about you being my friend. You my child. My job, my role from God is to do what God has given me the privilege and the responsibility to do. That's to train you, to rear you, to raise you in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I don't care what your other friends, mama let them do and daddy let them do. I don't care what they let them do, how they let them act and how they let them dress and where they let them go and how long they let them stay out, how long they let them stay on the phone. I don't care nothing about what they're doing in their house. What matters is what goes on in this house. Mama used to tell us, you know what? When the street lights come on, you better be making it in the house. You know, and I was kind of big for my age. And I tried my mama a few times, and you know, and I'd be out there playing, and you know, some fellas and them, they didn't have no curfews like talking about. They could hang out, and I was, you know, pretty big and looked like I was probably older than I was, and mama would be in that door looking like, okay, we're gonna see what you're gonna do. And you know, I was smart enough, even though I didn't want to be embarrassed, to act like I did, you know, I knew I was supposed to be inside when the lights came on. So when it's coming that time or whatever, we playing football or we out there talking, I'd be like, look, man, let me go inside, give me something to drink. I ain't want to say, look, I got to go inside. I just never came back after I got my drink. Mama didn't play that. You know, and whatever you do, you know, you need to know you got standards in your house. But you know, I thank God now, and I've said this to my mother, I don't know how many times, I thank you for the discipline, especially for boys, discipline. Because a lot that they understand and respect comes from a mother as well as from a father. And so there are some things, again, that you need to understand in discipline that follows through. Dedication is important too, because you can't start it and stop it. You've got to stay with it. You've got to stick with it when it gets rough and tough. You got to stick with it. Sometimes you want to take them and throw them in jail yourself. You want to throw your hands up in the air and wave them like you just don't care. Be like, go ahead on. I don't care no more. You know, you get for any real parents in the house today. Know that your children can work your last nerve. Can make you so mad you want to fuss and cuss. Can I ask somebody to be real with me here? Can get so mad you just call on Jesus and then you... Sometimes you have to steal away and cool out. Because if you put your hands on them, they'll be picking you up for child abuse. But you got to stick with it. Be faithful to the end. Why is that important? Because your children depend on you to guide them right. Child doesn't know the best way. And some children are smart enough to tell you, you know, when you let them have their way too much, well, you the parent. And then you want to drop them then. But no, that's you gave them too much room from Jump Street to come up with that to you. No, you need to rear them in a way that honors God and respects you. And that means to continue the practice. Listen, train up a child. It means from infancy to adolescence. Those are the foundational years. That's when their little minds are very supple and very bendable and pliable. That's when their little minds are like sponges, absorbent. That's when they are able to be shaped and they are able to be molded. That's when they are the easiest to bring up in the way that they ought to go. Anybody that did a little home gardening know that you plant certain vines or certain trees, and as they begin to take shape and grow up, sometimes they grow crooked. And old folk would take a piece of stick or a pole or something and tie it to them until that suckling or that little sapling, little tree, little vine becomes strong enough and starts growing straight. And once it starts growing straight, they can untie them. Some of you got to tie your children. I don't literally mean tie them up. I mean with principles. When you see them going wrong, correct them. Don't wait until they're totally wrong before you start the correction. When you see them bending in the wrong direction, that's when the correction needs to begin. It's much easier to correct them then than it will be after they have grown crooked. When you've seen some trees that have gone almost sideways, it's because they were left too long to themselves without correction. And here came the problem then that you had to deal with. Leave them like that or break them, which meant to destroy them. And see, if you would do it in a timely fashion, being dedicated to watch them and do, you ought to know what goes on in your house. So much stuff happens right in your own house, and you don't even know about it. Not connected with the children. Don't sit down. We don't eat together no more and talk and discuss the day's events, what happened at school, who your friends are. Don't know what they're doing on the computer. Don't check on them. Just leave them to themselves to rear themselves up. And so the internet rears them. The television rears them. The rappers rear them. I mean, the magazines rear them. They've got all of these other partners rearing them, and the one who's most needed is not doing their part. And so parents have got to realize God is holding you responsible for being dedicated to rearing you. That means you got to make sacrifices. That means when you have the baby, you done cut out your street activities. Watch it. That means that now that you have a baby, you can't run and have fun like you used to do because you have responsibility now. That means you can't just throw your baby off on mama or on grandmama. No, I can't go, girl, because I have a baby to take care of. See, the boy, he's still out there having fun. But here's where you need to realize, again, that it's necessary for your responsibility to be toward that child. Child didn't ask to come here. Dr. Caesar Clark dealt with this issue of illegitimacy. Say, how can you call the baby illegitimate when the baby didn't have nothing to do with coming here? Baby didn't have nothing to do with picking who his parents were. Baby didn't have nothing to do with the timing of his birth. When the baby knew anything, the baby was here. The only problem, a fault of the baby, was the baby was born. That's the only fault you can mourn, fault the baby for being born. But it's the parents who were illegitimate when they did not provide for that baby the kind of home for that baby to get the proper training in. And so even then, you still have a right and a responsibility to give that child the best environment that that child can have to make it the best that he or she can in this world. The child didn't mess up, you did. The child didn't make a mistake, you did. Don't blame the child, blame you. And get over you and take care of the child. That's the reality. Yeah, I thought the claps would be few round up in this part. Listen. Train up a child in the way he should go. Child does not know which way to go. They may think they know which way to go, but they don't know which way to go. They deserve a parent who is looking out for their future to point them in the right direction. In the way they should go. That has to do with directives and directions. Directives that give them the understanding of knowing what they should do and what they should not do, holding both benefits and correction when they obey and disobey. They understand, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, manners. All of the directives about life, they start understanding those commands in their founding years. These are foundational principles that will carry them throughout their lives. Teaching them how to be mannerable, respectful, honorable are all foundational issues that they learn as little children. Our problem is we don't think that children can learn at an early age when life proves differently, history and science have proven different to us. You start reading to a baby while it's yet in the mother's womb, that baby is again known to become much more prone to reading, prone to studying, prone to learning. You play classical music, that child learns refinement. All of the things that you think that child is not getting, he's getting through the ears and eyes and the waves of that mother going into that child. And when you bring that child and expose that child to the finer, the better things, the higher things in life, that child begins that at an age where they are foundationally learning everything. See, we can program our children to be successful and we can program them to be failures. We can talk down to our children or we can talk up to our children. We can tell our children they are nothing, will never be nothing, will never accomplish nothing, and they will live up to our expectations. Or you can tell them you can be anything you want to be. If you apply yourself, study hard, and do the right thing, nothing shall be impossible to you. When you begin to share this, and listen, nothing means more than to get that from the parent, the trainer, the person that believes in them before they believe in themselves. Heard Shaq the other day, receiving some award here in Baton Rouge, and he wanted to thank two people. First, his mama for believing in him when he didn't believe in himself, and then Dale Brown, who came in and on the base in Germany and saw him and believed in him when he didn't believe in himself. Well, now, these were two people at two critical points that both were trainers in his life. Listen, that he took on the mentality of the trainer. He didn't know what he could be, but they knew. And they groomed him in the way of that training, which then he grew into and became what they spoke and what they saw. You've got to look at the good in your child. I don't care what the daddy or the mama looks like. You got to look at the child and say, there's greatness in this child because of me. You ought to at least have half greatness in the child. you speak those things that be not as though they were. Well, ain't no greatness in me.